Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation. I am your host, Lewis Song. I'm joined by Eric Weideke, also of the Five Reasons Sports Network. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today, folks. The offseason has essentially begun at this point, as even though the purge officially started last week with the news of Xavien Howard going to be getting the June 1st designation, the Miami Dolphins today have done some other things that are honestly a little bit discouraging. Just on a personal level for me, and also because I feel like the Dolphins now have a lot more work to do in order to reinforce this roster. And we'll get into all that. But before that, really quick, just want to go ahead and mention that, as always, this show is brought to you by our good friends over at PrizePicks.com. PrizePicks.com is the revolutionary fantasy platform where you can pick up to 6 different players across professional sports leagues, whether that's the NFL, the NBA, or the MLB, or one of each. It is up to you to decide. Just choose. All you have to do is use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, and they will match up to $100 on your initial deposit when you sign up. And now, if you are in the state of Florida, currently Prize Picks is not available, but they are also working on a new game behind the scenes, so you will be able to go ahead and enjoy Prize Picks again in Florida very soon. But for those of you outside of Florida, once again, use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, and they will match up to $100 on your deposit when you sign up. And not only that, if you haven't already done so, make sure you check out the links in the description below of this YouTube video for my Nintendo store. You'll be able to order either of these awesome games, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Super Mario Brothers RPG. Both are available to purchase, and you'll receive bonus items upon making your purchase. So go ahead and click the link in the description below, and you'll be able to go ahead and get these games and some bonus items as well. All right, so you asked me if I had warmed up my vocal cords before this, Eric. And for those of you who have not checked out OnlyFins, which is only $3 a month to get in on the 3 yards per carry podcast Discord server, and you're missing out on a lot of good information. And the reality of the ground is the Miami Dolphins are in serious, serious need of some reinforcements now, especially now we have learned Xavien Howard, obviously, post June 1st designation, they said that the door is open for him to return. I'm not going to hold my breath on that. I think that they are very much going to just go ahead and let him leave so they can get that salary cap boost. I think that the real issue that I have here, and this is where it's frustrating for me as a fan to be watching what's going on with this team right now, knowing that there's a lot of talent that is leaving, and I don't feel like it was necessary for it to happen. I understand that this team is priding itself on its ability to develop its players. I am sure that they are wanting to give the likes of Channing Tindall an opportunity to shine and thrive in the new defense that is being created by Anthony Weaver. He's going to get his opportunity. Now he doesn't really have a choice in the matter, because the Dolphins have made it clear, even like it's very, very weird how the reports are conflicting. First, you have Dan Graziano coming out and saying the Dolphins are basically not going to let Christian Wilkins leave. And then just a few days later, we get a report from Jeremy Fowler saying, oh, no, Christian Wilkins is all but gone at this point. So I'm wondering what the reality on the ground is at this point. It's looking like, because now this is where Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter step in and basically say, yeah, our reports are the Dolphins are not going to put the franchise tag on him, and obviously they did not. So is there a possibility that Christian Wilkins is still going to get an extension? Maybe they'll re-sign him to a new contract. There's always that possibility. I'm sure he's going to test the market. He's going to see what's available out there for him. He's probably one of the best defensive tackles on the open market right now. I would not be surprised if the Dolphins, if they really, really wanted him back that badly, they would have to bid against a lot of other teams to make it happen. Because once again, I keep saying this over and over again, Christian Wilkins is the heartbeat of the Miami Dolphins defense. They go as he goes. He basically defines the culture. Like, he is the Miami Dolphins in a nutshell. He loves to play football. He loves the game. He loves his teammates. He is the consummate professional. And I wish the Dolphins were able to find a way to make it happen. I still hope that when all is said and done, and after all this free agency stuff starts to pan out, that Christian Wilkins will find his way back to Miami, and he'll be able to anchor the defensive line along with him and Zach Sealer together for many more years. That is ultimately what I want to see. But what I'm afraid of, and this is where it gets frustrating with me, and I appreciate it's very difficult for me because I don't want to make it sound like I'm griping too much, but there are certain players that I feel like are more important to this team than other players. We're looking at the situation right now where Alfredo Arteaga, 3 yards per carry, he tweeted it out, and I responded to it. We work with the same network, basically, and that he said, if you want Christian Wilkins back, you can do that if you want. However, keep in mind that you're probably going to have to lose either Jalen Phillips or Javon Holland, or, and I'm trying to remember who the third one he brought up was. This was another young guy, another young up-and-comer. But my
maybe
issue...
Maybe Jalen Waddle.
Waddle. That was it, yeah. Jalen Waddle. And of those three, I don't want to get rid of Jalen Waddle. Obviously, him and Tua together are phenomenal. I don't want to get rid of Jalen Phillips because he's been doing everything that a young Jason Taylor would have in his prime. And I don't want to lose that. But if there was anybody that I was going to get rid of just to make sure we can keep Christian Wilkins, at this point, quite frankly, Javon Holland, I would not mind parting with Javon Holland, but only in the sense that if you look around this league, if you look around the league, and I'm going to go ahead and invite Manny in because he just decided to pop in. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. Well, look at me. I say good afternoon, and it's 7:38 at night. That tells you how long it was for me at work.
I know, right? But...
What's up, Eric?
How you doing, man?
So this is what I'm talking about here right now is that if I was going to get rid of anybody to make sure the Dolphins could keep Christian Wilkins, it would be Javon Holland. Because look at the safety position right now across the league. There are safeties, good safeties, really good safeties, getting cut and released all over the place because they're too expensive for what a safety should be. Okay, so if that's the case, if you're looking at Javon Holland, and Alf refuted my point by saying that Javon Holland is a do-it-all safety. I understand that. But Christian Wilkins is a do-it-all defensive tackle. And between him and Javon Holland right now, Christian Wilkins has done more for what the defense does than Holland has. And not only that, you factor this in. Factor this in, Joe's folks. Javon Holland has now started coming down with injury issues. And not only that, after those injury issues started to subside, we started questioning his mental, his emotional capability. We were thinking, did he forget the defense while he was out, while he was away? Because Javon Holland looked not that great after he came back from his injury last season. We were starting to question, is he not a fit here? Is there something going on here? He's getting a little too snappy on social media. All these criticisms surrounding Holland. Can anybody think of any defense, any scheme, any coordinator, any coach that Christian Wilkins has not performed for? He performed with Brian Flores. He performed with Vic Fangio. He performed with Josh Boyer. He performed the moment that Christian Wilkins got here, and it wasn't always showing up in the stat box, but Christian Wilkins was making an impact from day one that he arrived, and he has not stopped. He's only gotten better and better and better. Is there still the possibility that Javon Holland can do the same? Yes. However, of all the, if there was a player, like I said, that I would be willing to part ways with, it would be Holland, because it seems to me that really good safeties that could easily replace Javon Holland, do it all safeties even. Maybe a little on the older side. Maybe they're a veteran. Maybe you draft another one. The Dolphins have had a good track record with safeties. But if there was anybody I'd be willing to get rid of to make sure that Christian Wilkins can stay, it would be Holland, because you can find another safety. It feels like you can trip over really good safeties these days. And that's what's happening right now in free agency. Look at the market. There are literally guys all over the place, and that's before all the cuts that happened today. So, Manny, I know that you're on a time crunch, you told me, so I'm going to go ahead and let you go first. Any thoughts on my soliloquy, or maybe you have your own independent thoughts you'd like to share?
No, well, I think that most owners as well will agree with you, because last time I checked, right, these contracts for safeties is just not there. I mean, we saw Chauncey Gardner-Johnson sign for, what, 60 mil. We saw Bates sign for probably a little bit more than that. But players that have been proving themselves on the D-line actually get a payday, and they actually have created more of an impact. I'm not saying that Javon Holland cannot be that guy for you. I also feel like if that's the route that you go, right, you keep Wilkins, obviously guaranteed money is going to be there in a longer term contract. You still got to solidify the back end if you're the Dolphins, right? I mean, you know, I listen, guys, there's so many running backs about to hit the free agency market. It's quite clear, and it's been going on for years. Teams look at that position as I'll just draft. Like, they're not even willing to give him an extra year or two even, unless your name is what? Like, let's be honest. Like, what's like, dude, like, there hasn't
there's
been,
nobody, Manny, nobody. Saquon Barkley's one of the best in the league.
There's no Arian Foster. There's, you know what I'm saying? Like, those guys that we saw, what, 10, 15 years ago that could carry the low 2K, there's no Jamal Lewis running for 2,000 yards anymore.
Manny,
like,
Saquon Barkley is not going to be brought back. He's top three in the league, bro.
Correct. And then, of course, when you're the Chiefs, you don't really need a running back, no offense, Pacheco. And then you look at the Niners that actually made Christian McCaffrey their all-around back. He wasn't even close to all-purpose yardage, as most guys were before. So if this is the route that you go, I mean, listen, Wilkins, to me, he is the heart of that defense right now. You know, given the fact that the DC is not there anymore, but I think, Lewis, you brought up a great point. He's performed for every single DC that's been on this team since he's been drafted. So going forward, if this team is on a championship run, not saying that, again, Holland cannot get better from his playing after his injury, but, you know, you don't have time to waste. So, you know what I'm saying? If, you know, if things have to be cut, if players got to be, you know, either traded or not signed, you know, due to the fact that there's another player that could, you know, frankly outperform and become a much bigger impact. Not to mention this league, especially in this conference, you got quarterbacks, right? Like, you have to get the pressure. Yes, picks are nice, but when you get sacks, when you get quarterback pressures, when you get the guys to move out of the pocket, I mean, that's what this game's about. So I'm going to go with you. You know, I'm going to say that Wilkins is a key vital piece of here. Now, you know, this team might say, well, we have a couple guys lined up in the draft. Okay, well, you better hope they pan out in this year or two, because again, this is kind of a make or break it time, right? I mean, you know, like this whole Tua contract thing and what could happen afterwards. You guys got to win now. And unfortunately, I think Wilkins, for Holland's sake, Wilkins gives you the best chance to winning playoff games and getting on a title run now than anything.
Eric.
So, I mean, I guess given I know that the Dolphins kind of operate in secrecy, but I'm going to speculate here given the reporting. So my speculation is Graziano comes out and says that the Dolphins are not going to let Christian Wilkins just walk so easily. And a few days later, we hear Rappaport, Schefter, and all those guys saying, yes, he will be indeed hitting free agency. Pretty much all but saying that Christian Wilkins is not going to be a Miami Dolphin in 2024. So I'm left to infer that the Dolphins had those conversations. They came to Christian Wilkins with an offer, and it wasn't enough. Now, I'm not here to say that I don't want guys to get paid. I want Christian Wilkins to get his money. He deserves it. Absolutely. He's one of the five or six best players in the league at his position. But I do think that there is kind of, you know, a looming danger to, yeah, well, you know what? Let's give Wilkins 4 years, 104. You know, let's give him 4 years, 108, or record-setting defensive tackle money. If that's indeed what he is looking for. We don't know whether or not that's actually what he's looking for there. And I feel for the fan base here, because it's one of those things where, you know, if you felt like there was a contingency plan in the back pocket, or you felt like, oh, well, the Dolphins, we already kind of know who the Dolphins have in mind as the replacement, maybe you'd feel a little bit better about it. But this idea that you're just going to lose him, and whether or not they do have a contingency plan, I'm sure they do. They haven't talked about it. There's been no transparency about that. So people are left to speculate. And when people are left to speculate, they're probably going to jump to the worst case scenario in a lot of situations. And that is letting Wilkins walk for nothing and really having no resources to kind of replace him. I mean, this is a very light draft year for them. They've got a first rounder, a second rounder, a 5, 2 sixes, and a 7. You know, you're really just hoping that you hit on the first two picks this year. As for the whole Holland versus Wilkins thing, I'm not going to get on Javon Holland too much for his play at the back end of last year, especially considering the injury that he did have. I mean, you're looking at two sprained MCLs there. I can't imagine he was ever at 100% at the end of the year. And then, you know, you get a guy with two bad knees going into that kind of weather in Kansas City. And I mean, what do you really expect at that point? But Christian Wilkins walking is definitely going to create a giant hole for this team, especially when you consider that between him and Sealer, that was probably where most of their pass rush was coming from last year.
But Eric, what about Van Ginkel as well, right? That whole middle to left, that whole side that created the majority of the pressure might not even be there. That's the route that you go, right? So then now that's the question. It's not about you replacing that, but what else can you do that won't cost you as much to replace it, I think?
I mean, I think ultimately the key to this, and I've kind of been bouncing it around in my head, and I'm not sure, obviously, you know, is the answer for the Dolphins to get a true nose tackle type player, because they haven't had that, and they've kind of been missing that in their defense, I feel, for a little while now. Maybe you get one of those guys that just eats up blocks, and that kind of, you know, at least makes things easier for pass rushers while you're missing a Jalen Phillips and a Bradley Chubb at the start of the season. I mean, there's just so much that they have. But the problem with speculating on all this stuff is there's so many steps to this process of the Dolphins opening up this cap space, so many extensions that have to be done, so many deals that have to be reworked, to where it's like, okay, well, if the Dolphins want to sign even a middling free agent, that's like a 7-step process right now, given their cap situation. And I hate to be doom and gloom about it, because I know that it's fairly routine cap maneuvering, so it can be done. But right now it's just, you know, you're kind of staring down the barrel of, okay, well, Wilkins is gone. Robert Hunt is probably gone. Andrew Van Ginkel, who knows if he gets re-signed. You already know Jerome Baker's gone. He got cut. We haven't even talked about that yet. You know, it's just one of those things where the holes are starting to pile up and you're like, okay, well, you're doing the math in your head. You're looking at the cap and you're looking at the draft picks and you're like, okay, well, where are we going to fill these holes up, guys? And so it's definitely a tumultuous time. And I do not envy Chris Greer's job at all this offseason.
And that's the biggest thing right now, is that he's under a lot of fire. And for some people, it'll be deservedly so. Because we went all in. It didn't work. I feel like part of that is because the Miami Dolphins did not invest enough in the offensive line position. They just didn't. Isaiah Wynn was a gamble. It didn't work. They re-signed Austin Jackson, and that looks okay for now. Let's see if he can continue improving with Butch Berry and the Mike McDaniel system. That'll be nice to see if it actually works. Teron Armstead, he's still going to be the guy. I don't think they're going to dump him anytime soon. They may try to jettison him after this season. I'm sure they will. I'm 100% sure that they will, because I don't see them trying to restructure him or trying to keep him around.
That's if he doesn't decide to hang it up himself.
He's not going to. He's going to see that. There's guaranteed money on the table. I mean, I need to look up exactly what it means when a player actually retires. It's not like his money just disappears off the books entirely, I don't think.
Well, I found out today, guys, and this hurts me too, with Kelsey retiring yesterday, some of that money, we're going to the team itself is going to have to actually eat it. So
yeah, so there you go. How much money would the Dolphins have to eat?
If Armstead retired? Yeah, so this whole notion that a player that retires, all that cap goes away, it definitely does not go away. However, the team doesn't fully pay it, but there is a definite cap hit that goes up against you signing free agency going forward. Now, the thing that helps me is that I have a general manager that just signed a quarterback to a long-term deal, and yet his deal basically this year is only $11 million compared to Daniel Jones up north, which is 47. That's when your general manager needs to be able to spread things, these type of contracts here and there in case these things happen. Because even though Jalen Hurts just signed that long tenure deal, he probably won't get more than 25 mil per season, unless that's in incentives and all this other stuff that, of course, these general managers are able to do. So, but again, yeah, that's a pretty hefty pay.
And that's the thing about it, that a lot of what's happening right now hinges on what kind of a contract Tua Tagovailoa signs. And make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, Tua was going to sign an extension this season. And personally, me, again, I feel like that's the right move because I see that this gentleman is a very much a Drew Brees type. It took Drew Brees a while to come into his own, and everybody needs to have the patience. I see Manny smirking down there, but you know it's true, bro. You know it's true.
You went there. Okay.
6 years for Drew Brees.
Are you trying to make yourself feel better from the Dante Culpepper experience?
I've been saying this since the day Tua was drafted.
It's 1 to 2 more years after his rookie deal. It's set. There's no questions ever. It's or buts. Yeah, I know.
Like that was how long it took for Drew Brees to finally become Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees.
He won the Super Bowl with an aging Jeremy Shockey. Wait, Marcus Colston.
Wasn't Jimmy Graham there at the time?
No, it wasn't.
Shockey. That was before Jimmy Graham.
Reggie Bush was a big part of this. Well, again, that position is our value. So, I mean, but yeah.
They were ahead of their time. They were running out Reggie Bush and Darren Sproles.
And that's crazy, though, Lewis, because you see the team that he had in San Diego in Drew Brees, and you're thinking to yourself, they never won anything. And yet they had one of the highly touted old school head coaches that was about to go on a run, and Schottenheimer never got it going. And yet he goes to a rookie head coach, and you see the dynamics there for years to come. So, hey, you've convinced me.
All right. And I'm now welcoming Alfredo Arteaga to the show. So I sent him the link, say, hey, you're welcome to join us if you'd like to. And here he is. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good.
How are you guys?
Good. Manny's admiring the look. But are we talking about the beard? Or are we talking about the setup? Have you seen the setup yet, Manny?
The setup looks amazing. That old school Dolphin jersey is popping, man.
That's not even the whole thing. That's like half the setup.
This is Studio B. The other studio setup. Like maybe I can move the camera. Hold on. The other studio setup has this.
That's why it's important to have Tua.
Okay. So.
I see that helmet though too.
Yeah, that's a Shula 325 helmet.
Yeah. So what we were just talking about, Alf, just to catch you up on everything. We were talking about the merits of we actually kind of briefly had a discussion. We didn't follow up on it on the thread or anything, but you had asked who would I be willing to give up to keep Christian Wilkins, and I said Javon Holland. You answered back with your own reply. I didn't follow up on it, but my line of thinking has always been, we're looking around the NFL right now. There's a veritable glut of free agent safeties that are available, and they're all very good safeties. I don't know if they have as high a ceiling as Javon Holland has, but they're there. They're for the taking. All you have to do is go grab one. There's tons of them, and there are more getting released every single day at this point. Plus, the Dolphins have a pretty good track record with drafting safeties. So they found Javon Holland. They found Rashad Jones. Brandon Jones isn't terrible. They could find another safety. But of all the players of that list that you gave me, Holland is the only one that at any given moment, and even you in OnlyFans had mentioned it, you raised an eyebrow at Javon Holland saying, what's going on here with you, boy? So Christian Wilkins, there has never, ever been a question mark about his durability, his ability, his attitude, nothing. He has been the consummate professional. He has performed for every single defensive coordinator that has walked through these doors and left. So if there's anybody that I feel comfortable trying to replace, it would be Holland, despite of the fact that, like you mentioned, he's an all-tool safety. He can do all the things. I know it. But he's the only one that we've looked at him, even for the briefest of moments, to say something's not right. And that's why I would say I would move on from Holland if it meant keeping Wilkins. Because Wilkins, I have zero questions. Holland, I have one question.
Yeah, the thing about that is that Wilkins, like, what are you going to really get for the money that you're going to pay him? First of all, you're going to pay him a lot more money than Holland would get even at the top of the market, right? And one guy's 24, the other one's 28. So you could reasonably expect that you could have Javon Holland here for 10 years from this year on. Because safeties play forever, okay? Defensive tackles don't play forever, all right? Now, you know, can you replace a playmaking safety as easily as you can replace a defensive tackle? Well, the thing is that the defensive tackle is going to take several guys to replace. A safety, you would need to replace him with one guy. So with Wilkins, you're talking about finding a three tech and finding a zero tech and then just play a bunch of multiple fronts and let Zach Sealer play the prime role as far as your pass rusher. So he gets a little bit more freedom to play over the guard. He gets a little bit more freedom to play over a tackle instead of having Wilkins be that guy, right? So now you're going to have a couple of guys in a rotation doing the dirty work for Zach Sealer while Javon Holland, if you got rid of Javon Holland, you got to replace him with one guy because one guy is the one that has to play. Now, the thinking is this. Anthony Weaver's coming in, and we had no idea what kind of system he was going to play, right, or he was going to use. But he says that he's going to use Mike McDonald's system. If he's going to use Mike McDonald's system, that means a lot of cover three. If he's going to use a lot of cover three, that means Javon Holland's going to be pretty much everywhere. He's going to be one of the most important players on the defense. So his role is going to expand. So I'm thinking that Javon Holland becomes a much more important player going forward. And look, they're always going to default to age. Look at Chris Greer's track record. On this team, you turn 30, and Chris Greer's looking for a way to get rid of you already. All right? So, although I think they're going to have some older players this year because when you're kind of cash-strapped, when your cap is up against it, you're going to have to go find some one-year deals until you could fill those spots with draft picks. So I'm looking at probably 3 one-year deals this year that are going to be contributors and possibly 6 for the roster. So I think you're going to see some older guys filling up the back end of the roster. But I think with the moves that they're making, and there's more to come, there's a lot more to come, okay? They're going to extend like 3 or 4 guys, all right? With the moves that they're making, they're going to have an opportunity to retain Christian Wilkins. But Christian Wilkins is going to have to play ball. He's just going to have to play ball. There is a way where they can open up somewhere around $40 to $50 million in cap space this year. And it doesn't mean that you're going to have a lot of good backups, though. You're going to have a lot of one-year deals, a lot of vets in prominent backup roles. But Christian Wilkins is going to have to play ball if he wants to stay here. He's going to have to play ball with a heavily front-loaded contract. And he can't be one of these guys that 2 years from now is making a smaller salary. He's going to say, you know what? It's time to renegotiate again. No. Can't be one of those guys. And think about it. If you're in the Dolphins' shoes and you do something like that, what if Christian Wilkins in 2 years from now, when his contract is maybe 30th in the NFL for defensive tackles and APY, and he says, you know what? It's time to renegotiate. And you ended up paying $50 million for 2 years of Christian Wilkins?
You know? I mean, if Christian Wilkins continues to play the way that he's playing, I'd be willing to pay it because he's playing at an all-pro level. He's done everything.
So much money, man. $25 million.
I know it's a lot of money.
I have a rebuttal for you, Alf. What if I told you back in 2016, 2017, Brandon Graham's contract was up and he was looking to get paid? Right. And we're like, okay, do one more year of us and we'll talk about it. He was the game winning player that won us the Super Bowl in 2017. And we paid the man. So I'm just saying, it will, again, to me, this notion, and I thought you put it together perfectly. Holland is placed by one guy. Wilkins got to have multiple pieces, right? Because a guy like that is just insane.
Yeah, if you're going out there looking for Christian Wilkins, you're not going to find him.
You're not going
to
find him. But
like, if you want to find Christian Wilkins, pay more money to Chris Jones.
But I think the main thing what you just said is Anthony Weaver is going to bring in the McDonald style. Kyle Hamilton was all over the field last year, basically lined up against most number ones on the other side. Think maybe he looks at Javon Holland like that and say, hey, if he's in the slot, best guy on their team on offense, follow him. Is that what you think that he's going to become, or that he's going to want him to be that?
But here's something to consider. Sorry.
So. Yeah, I think he's going to play Javon Holland in that cover three role, which means he's the center fielder on third down, and you could see him shadowing tight ends.
Yeah.
And you're going to see him in the slot. And before people say, oh, my God, you're going to play Javon Holland in the slot? He played in the slot almost his entire last year at Oregon. So he can do it.
Right. But it's never been a question of what Javon Holland can do. And just to be clear, ladies and gentlemen, but anybody listening, I'm not advocating for the Dolphins to dump Javon Holland this year. Obviously, he'd be sticking around, even if with the Wilkins extension, at least for another year or so. So
yeah, the choice that I made on that I put out on Twitter was essentially this. If you sign Christian Wilkins to what he wants, next year you have a decision to make with Phillips, Waddle, and Holland, and you will probably have to sacrifice one of them. You can't keep all three. So I was asking on Twitter, which one is the one that you're going to sacrifice?
And
the most popular one actually was fans were saying Phillips, which I think
is crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy.
You know what, though? I think those fans are just carrying that because of his injury, man. I think that's
wrong. Yeah, and I like to remind those fans, like Cam Wake's career year came off of an Achilles injury.
Yeah, right. And he was in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
Oh, this.
Fan. So, I warn people, look, out of the three, Jalen Phillips is the one that has the megastar potential. Like, he's the one that could be doing commercials, win Defensive Player of the Year, that type of stuff. I don't want to mess with that. Like, that's the guy you want around.
Like, the only position that I need Waddle around because of the Tua dynamic. I need Waddle. I need Phillips because, yes, pass rusher, incredibly, like, you kind of almost can't fathom the ceiling that Jalen Phillips has. He could be one of the greatest of all times if he continues to play and continues to improve the way he is. Holland, as great as he is, and he also has a superbly high ceiling. You even brought it up yourself, Alf. You just need one guy. Find one guy, and Holland is replaced. Now, again, that's not easy to do. None of them are going to be easy, would be easy to replace. But of all the dudes,
it's not easy, Lewis, to replace.
Of all the dudes on that list, Holland is the easiest to find a replacement. And the Dolphins have found replacements. We thought, like, how could the Dolphins let Rashad Jones go? He's a playmaker on the defense. He's one of the best players on the team. He was a safety. They found a replacement. They managed to get it done. Same thing now with Javon Holland. Some team will probably give him a decent contract for a safety. And they'll go ahead and they'll run him for a few years, and then they'll cut him as soon as he gets expensive, because that's what happens with safeties. How many safeties did we just see released leading up to this offseason? We saw, like, the one from the Lions, he's gone.
Xavier McKinney today.
Xavier McKinney, Manny, I think you were the one with the spaces on Twitter talking about future Eagle Xavier McKinney. Yeah. So that's another one that's gone. I mean, didn't the Jaguars just release someone?
By the way, Adam Schefter, I don't know if you guys seen the report, but Adam Schefter has reported that Jonnu Smith has already been visiting with the Dolphins, and they're having contract negotiations. Once you hear that, that means it's happening, which means that the Dolphins are taking tight end off the table.
That's good.
Interesting.
Because they're not cutting Durham Smythe. The savings on Durham Smythe is $2.4 million.
Why? Yeah, it's not worth it.
What's the point? And they're not going to cut Julian Hill because he's a minimum player, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So that means that they will essentially be done with tight end on March 5th.
I'm good with that. I'm happy. Jonnu Smith is
He can definitely catch passes and go down the seams without question.
But how good is he as a blocker?
Not ask the question.
Not much of a blocker.
No, he's not going to block. He's not going to block. But here's the thing. Jonnu Smith is a guy you could probably get for $4 million and maybe half of it guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You saw today what Dalton Schultz got. We were talking on OnlyFans that
$12 million a year, right?
Because of what he got, $13 million a year, Dalton Schultz, 3 years, 36. We were looking at that contract and thinking to ourselves, you know what? Now you can get Noah Fant for 10. For a team that's cash strapped, what would you rather have, Noah Fant for 10 or Jonnu Smith for 4?
Easy peasy.
Yeah, Jonnu Smith.
Jonnu Smith, of course.
You know?
No, that's an easy decision.
Fant can't block. Even for sure, he can't block.
Well, I mean, listen, if he's here to just be Mike Gesicki 1.5, so be it. So I'm okay with the Jonnu Smith thing. I'm perfectly fine with that. He did well for Mac Jones. So that just tells you what Tua, if he can work with Mac Jones, he can definitely work with Tua. I'm just going to put that out there right now. So maybe they're trying to throw in a little wrinkle here, maybe have some two tight end sets. They'll have both Smythe and Smith going out there. That'd be interesting. The Smith and Smythe. Try saying that five times fast.
Eric, Lewis, I want to touch on something with you, and I have a question specifically for you here because it feels like in this whole Wilkins versus Holland thing. It's okay. So Holland being 24, Wilkins being 28. Wilkins is coming off a career season. What are the odds we've seen Wilkins' best football already, though?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned,
I know he's got a great work ethic, but that's not what I'm getting at here. Is
are you asking me about statistics? Or are you asking me about just his level of play? Because again, that was the argument that I had against fans who were saying don't pay Christian Wilkins last season because they were using his lack of sacks as a justification for not giving him the extension he already deserved last year. So now he got all his sacks and we ended up outbidding ourselves because we were going to be under the assumption, oh, he's not built for sacks. He's built for whatever the hell you want him to do, man. He can do it all. So it just so happened that this year was the year that he decided to explode on sacks. And I say decided with a very loose terminology because
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
He was getting after quarterbacks a year, 2 years ago. It's just that he wasn't getting right. He didn't get the sack. He was a second away from getting it so many times. And even when he wasn't getting sacks, he was haranguing whoever was back there. More tackles than any other defensive lineman in the NFL 2 years in a row. This year, he got a bunch of sacks, way more than all of the guys that he ended up getting paid instead of, right? So I'm looking at Christian Wilkins and I'm saying, you don't have to get a ton of sacks. I was saying that last season before the season started. I don't care how many sacks he has. He's in the backfield constantly, just driving people up a wall. I don't need to see the numbers. I already saw it on film. Pay him. And now really, we're in this situation.
Okay. So let's make this more analogous then. Let's work with Baltimore. Who is more? And this is a tough question to answer. I'm not sure I know the answer 100%.
Eric, but I think Alf already kind of answered your question, the one that you're going to ask. But please,
you know the question I'm going to ask.
I think so, but please,
I want to ask more. Alf, and I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to say. But who was more important to the Ravens defense last year, Justin Madubuike or Kyle Hamilton?
Oh, Kyle Hamilton. There were a mediocre.
Jamal Holland ain't going nowhere, ladies and gentlemen. That's it.
By the way, I want to touch on, I don't know if you guys touched on it or not. I don't know if I joined you at the top of the show or not, but Jonnu Smith, man, last season in Atlanta, does anybody know who the hell he had throwing to him? It was Taylor Heineke.
Okay? Wasn't it also the rookie quarterback from Cincinnati?
Yeah, Desmond Ridder. Right? Ridder. Yeah, Jonnu Smith had 50 catches last year for 582 yards and 3 touchdowns, right? But it was on 70 targets for 8.3 yards per target. That is, for tight ends, that's elite production for a tight end. So he's coming off a pretty good year, and he's 28 years old.
That roster too, Alf. That's with Kyle Pitts as well on that roster.
Yeah, so he's he's 28 years old. Like, this is really, really a good signing. I want to see if they finish it off. I want to see the numbers. Like, you know, I said 4 million. Who knows if there's a big number here?
Jonnu Smith is another Drew Rosenhaus client.
God bless Drew Rosenhaus, man. he just keeps bringing all the players here. You know what I mean? What was it that he made? Because there could be an offset, and Miami could be getting a deal. You know, because maybe Atlanta's paying him a part of his salary. Let me check it out.
You were gonna pull up on Spot Track?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's a possibility. Let me see.
I mean, he got paid on his last deal.
Yeah, his last deal was 4 years, $50 million, man.
Wasn't that with the Patriots?
Yes,
no, with the Patriots. It was with the Patriots, yeah. And then 2 years later, they traded him.
Yeah, and he has this past year, dead cap hit, $2.5 million. The Falcons will pay him $2.5 million to play on our team. Wow,
that's a good deal.
No, so it's a great deal. We're negotiating with Jonnu Smith already having $2.5 million in the bank. So that's a good spot. So we pay him four. He's making 6.5 this year. That's pretty good.
No, I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm not worried about the offense, just to be clear. The only thing I'm worried about offense right now. Well, okay, offensive line. Yes.
I don't know if you guys have touched it. You know, we're having a good time here opening up all this cap space, but we're about to lose every single guy in the interior offensive line.
Yeah, I'm not. So,
if we had to play a game tomorrow, we would have nobody to line up. It would just be Liam Eikenberg standing there in the middle of the field,
which is the same as nothing. So,
yeah. So, yeah, we got work to do. It's nice that, you know, they're getting going. Like, you know, they took tight end off the table, which means, man, a draft pick has to be an offensive lineman. Like,
no, it has no to be. Way. But I was advocating for that from the jump. I was saying that if the Dolphins are going to do anything in the draft, it needs to be an offensive lineman. You can find wide receivers all the way into the middle rounds. I'm sure that Chris Greer is going to try to finagle something to get back into the third or fourth round, because that's what he does. He loves to make wheels and deals. So, but I'm looking at the Dolphins offense as a whole. Most of the pieces are still intact except for that interior. You still got Tyreek. You still got Waddle. You're going to find a third guy somewhere, whether it's Eric Ezukanma or somebody already on the roster, or if you're going to go find a veteran guy who's going to just step in and be like, okay, I'm here now.
Well, I think if you watch the combine and you've been following up on the draft picks this year, I think they're essentially painted into a corner. You got to get a wide receiver with pick 21 or pick 55, or you're going to have to trade pick 21 to get more picks to take one in the top 100, because the top 100 is loaded with receivers. You got to take one. You just have to take one. You have to get one of these guys.
Yeah. Well, trading down is something that every Dolphins fan wants to do every single year, regardless of whether it's a good idea or not. They always want more picks just so they can complain about how Chris Greer didn't make the pick they wanted, because that's how it goes. But if I'm the Dolphins, my first pick, and I've been very clear about this whole thing the whole time. I'm wanting to get JPJ. I think that he's probably not. He's a big Dolphins fan, apparently, ladies and gentlemen. So keep that in mind. He grew up watching the Dolphins, so he would love to play here. I don't know if he's going to be available at 21, but I'm hearing reports that there's going to be like five quarterbacks taken in the first round, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that helps. That helps a lot.
But what if I told you that in June the Dolphins are going to be the richest team in the NFL in cap space, and that Connor Williams will not be signed by then? And you're signing Connor Williams in June, and then you could just take at 21, you could take Troy Fatanu, and you're done, pretty much.
Yeah, he's a guard, or is he moving to guard?
He could play the first year at left guard, and then the year after, when Terron Armstead is gone, he plays at left tackle, and he'll be
Laramie Tunsil effect.
Yeah, he's like a Tunsil type, and he'll be there. Now that's the problem. He is like a Tunsil type, so he's a guy that's going to get more hype as the time goes on. And I'm thinking he's not going to make it to 21, but crazier things have happened. You know what I mean? Laramie Tunsil happened.
Yeah, Laramie Tunsil happened, but that was a very bizarre circumstance. If somehow it happened a second time, I think people would look back at the Laramie Tunsil thing and be like, we're not falling for this again. We're just going to go pick him.
So, but Troy Fatanu, in my opinion, would be what a pick that would be at 21, you know, if they could pull it off. But I think it's going to be hard. There's a lot of teams that need a tackle, and a lot of teams right before the Dolphins that need a tackle.
Yeah. Now here's my only rebuttal to that. If you have, you already have right now on the roster, two guys that, and you guys have raved about it on 3 Yards and on OnlyFans, Alf, you and CK and Simon, Keon Smith, you guys have been hyping this kid up for weeks now because of what he's showed on tape. There's something there, but for all we know and for all we can tell, Keon Smith only plays left tackle. We don't know if he can play right tackle. We don't even know if he can play guard. And the assumption, I think, is that he cannot. So, but if you want to hold on to that developmental player that is looking like he could potentially be a starter, then going out and getting Troy Font, I don't know how to say his name. I'm sorry. How was it again?
Fatano.
Okay. So Troy Fatano. If you go and get him, you're basically cutting off Keon Smith's potential of being your franchise left tackle. I'm not counting on that, but there is a distinct possibility there based on what we've seen on tape with him already. I don't want to pigeonhole him into being a backup or a swing tackle just because we went and got the big draft pick. So that's why if I'm the Dolphins, I already have two dudes, because I'm going to go ahead and give Ryan Hayes the benefit of the doubt, because what we saw in preseason and training camp with him was pretty darn impressive too. So I'm not going to go ahead and cut him off the loop either. So I've got two guys right off the bat with one more year of Teron Armstead to see if either of these guys can stand out enough to say, you know what, you're worthy of being a starting caliber left tackle. But however, at the guard, I have nothing, zero. So if I'm Miami, I'm focusing on finding a guy who's going to play left guard and potentially stay at left guard. So if you want to re-sign Connor Williams in June because the market is just not there because of his injury, I'm on board with that. That's fine. If he wants to gripe and moan about the fact that the Dolphins are taking advantage of him, I'm so sorry you got hurt, but that's the way that life goes. But if I'm Miami, I'm looking at the guard spots and saying that's more important to me right now because I already have two guys in the chamber that might be hits. So I don't know if it's going to be on the guard spot. And I see Eric kind of tilting his head and wondering what I'm – go ahead, man.
No, it's just and I understand that. It's just if you're drafting a guy at tackle in the first round, it's because you believe that that guy can be a Pro Bowl caliber, set it and forget it. This is your franchise tackle.
No, that I get.
Keon Smith, for as much as he's shown, he's still going. He's still looked at as a project player like that. It just is what it is. There's more development there that has to be done.
I just can't see
a world in where the Dolphins are looking at a guy that they think could be a Pro Bowler at left tackle and then saying, let's not draft him because we have Keon Smith in our back.
But what if you have a Pro Bowler left guard? What's the bigger need here? This is my problem right now. This is the problem with the whole BPA versus need discussion. Right now in the offensive line, I feel like Miami needs to go with need. If you're going to contend now, this second, this season, unless you are admitting that, okay, we're going to take 2 to 3 years to kind of reshuffle everything so that we can make another run in a couple years. We're still in win now mode with these Dolphins. You still have Teron Armstead. He's here. Regardless of whether anybody wants him here, he is here. I don't think he's retiring. He's going to be here for one more year. You have Keon Smith and Ryan Hayes, who are still there working underneath him, and Butch Berry, who has somehow managed to perform miracles with guys that we thought were going to be gone, and instead they ended up getting extended midseason. So if I have Keon Smith, and there's this old saying that I know that Omar Kelly likes to use, and to some extent I do agree with it, if they don't bite as pups, they're not going to bite as dogs. Keon Smith is already biting. He's already showing that there's something there with him. At guard, we got nothing. And I do mean nothing. Alf, you mentioned it. There's nobody there. There's not even anybody under contract. There's nobody we can use. So
now they have, as of right now, they have Liam Eikenberg and they have Robert Jones is restricted. That's it.
Okay, but he's still a free agent, technically. He's restricted, but yeah, he's still technically a free agent. So, yeah, Eikenberg doesn't count in my eyes, bro. He's Jesse Davis. So, and that's not a good thing right now. So I'm looking at Miami and saying, I have one guy who's still, even when he barely healthy as he is, he's still a Pro Bowl left tackle. And when he's playing, he plays well for one more year. I've still got him. We're still competing for a playoffs and Super Bowl run. I have nothing at left guard. Robert Jones, I don't think is the guy. He's kind of, you know, he's been okay-ish. But when he's been given the opportunity, he's had a couple good moments and a lot of not so good moments. That is a concern for me. We have a draft stocked at the top end with interior talent, whether it's JPJ or Alpha. I'm sure that you know the list better than I do, but there's a ton of guys who can play guard and just lock that position down just as easily as any of those other guys, Troy Fontenot or any of those other guys, can lock down left tackle for the next several years. Miami has two prospects who we've already shown have something to offer at that position. How much they have to offer remains to be seen. But there is something there with those kids. And I do not want to just get rid of them because we're going to take the, how do I put it? The traditional approach of saying, we're going to get our left tackle and then we'll fill in everything else later. The only way I do that at all is if Miami signs Lake and Tomlinson quickly and early and take advantage of the fact that he was cut by the Jets. That's the only way I do it. And even then, that only takes care of one spot on the interior, not both, one. So there's still a spot that's open.
Yeah, and it's important to understand that this Jonnu Smith signing, this does not count against the comp pick formula, and neither would Lake and Tomlinson.
So right, and that's another
important. These are precisely the kind of guys you want to sign.
Okay? So, if
you know, and if you're looking at really a risk versus reward thing, and you're just looking at the cost, honestly speaking, I've never been one that's against re-signing Isaiah Wynn, considering what the potential cost of that is going to be. I mean, he looked like a serviceable left guard when healthy last season. Obviously, he wasn't healthy for a good portion of last season. But if he's a guy that's really going to cost you barely anything, I at the very least, he's going to step in and be really good depth for you along the offensive line.
Depth, I'm okay.
And in an emergency piece, has shown he can hold his own as a starter.
Depth, I'm okay with. But I do not want to go into 2024. After seeing what happened this season, after seeing what happened in 2023, we were having one of the best offenses in the NFL. And then it just kind of started to stall as the season went out. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that both Tyreek and Jalen Waddle were starting to get crippled a little bit because of their injuries. They weren't as explosive. They weren't as fast. They just weren't as impactful down the road because they were injured. And the same goes for the offensive linemen. You were down Connor Williams. He was gone. He was done. Isaiah Wynn went down early in the season. You had to find a way to cope with that. Teron Armstead was out for half the season. You had to cope with that. You had Robert Hunt, who ended up losing a bunch of games that season. And that had an impact. I don't want any more question marks on this offensive line. I know that the whole offense and Mike McDaniel's scheme is basically designed to make it so that Tua doesn't hold the ball for more than 2 seconds at a time, but that's not something that you can hold on to all the time. If you want Tua to be able to do things off script, you need to give him some time to actually look around after the first read is not there. Because if it's 2 seconds and squish, then there is no off script. You have to give him something to look around for.
But what team goes into the season without any questions along the offensive line at all? I mean,
I would argue Buffalo last season, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, most franchises, there's at least one guy along the offensive line that fan base is kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, right now Miami has three question marks, and they literally are zero, nobody, nobody, and nobody. I don't want that. I don't want guys that if something happens to them, then we're back to square one. Because let's say that you go ahead and you resign Isaiah Wynn and you pencil him in as your starter at left guard. Your backup is Robert Jones again. And we already know what that looks like. It's bad. What happens if Liam Eikenberg? Are we going to count on him as the starter at center? I don't think so.
No,
we're not. So, okay, we go get Connor Williams in June. He's injured. He's not going to play right away, probably. So that means you still have Eichenberg as your starter for now, which is not great. He's serviceable as a backup in a few game situation. He shouldn't be playing half the season. That's a problem. You have the right guard position. If you fix that by signing Lake and Tomlinson, or you move Tomlinson to left guard and you go get a right guard somewhere, be my guest. However you want to shuffle that around. But I want guys who are going to be reliable. They are going like. The question about Lake and Tomlinson, whether he's good or not, he didn't fit the Jet system. He made his money. He made his name by being the San Francisco Kyle Shanahan / Mike McDaniel offensive blocking scheme. He comes back to Miami. I have zero doubts that if he's healthy, Tomlinson will ball out because this is what he did best. This is what made him rich to begin with. So you go get Tomlinson. He doesn't count against your compensatory formula. You take care of left guard or right guard. Done. Okay. You go and sign Isaiah Wynn, Eric, to your point. He's a backup. How much is he making? How much are we willing to give him? $4 or $5 million? That's as high as I'd go for Wynn.
If that, honestly.
How much did Wynn make last year?
It was like $3 million.
Yeah, okay, that, so I mean, give him $2 million. Like, this is a, you were injured discount. So sorry. Like, who's going to go out and look at you now? That's the honest truth. I'm sorry to say it so, just so roughly, but it's like, who's going to look at, who's going to look a second glance in his direction? The dude was injured. We already paid him once. We gave him a second chance and he blew it because he got hurt. So $2 million for Isaiah Wynn. He's a backup. I'm not penciling him in as my starter. I want the Dolphins to draft somebody. You still have Teron Armstead at left tackle. For a few games at least, you have an all-pro at that position. If you go, if you want a swing tackle who's going to be affordable, you make a pitch, if you will, to Kendall Lamb to come back. Make a pitch. See if you can get him back because he was phenomenal. And I don't think that his name is recognizable enough that he's going to get a lot of attention. He'll get some. He'll get some attention. You're going to have to give him a good amount of money. Maybe, I don't know, $7 million, $8 million. That's maybe something that you could offer Kendall Lamb as a, to be a, because he will be a starter at some point. He'll probably end up starting some games. But I would want him to start at right tackle because I want to see what Keon Smith does at left. I want to see what he does at left because there's potential there that does not exist with the other guys on this offensive line. I don't think we're going to get anything more out of Liam Eichenberg. I don't think we're going to get a whole lot more from Robert Jones. What I want to see is I want to see what Keon Smith can do, and I want to see what Ryan Hayes can do. Because both those guys, training camp, preseason, and even in Keon Smith's case, during the season, he looked great. And that's not against, like, oh, the third or fourth stringers after the game is over. Keon Smith had to step in and start for Kendall Lamb when he got hurt. And he played well. He did not buckle under pressure like Lester Cotton and Robert Jones did. He played well. I don't think that's an accident. Of all the players that you had on the roster, the only guy who stepped in and looked like he belonged there the whole way through, as brief as it was Keon Smith. I'm not going to go ahead and let that go. I'm not going to let that potential slide away because we're going to go draft the sure thing. And even then, in the draft, remember, the draft is never, ever a sure thing. How many left tackles, how many left tackles have been drafted in the past 10, 15 years that people thought, oh, this is a for sure thing. He's going to be the next, I don't know, pick a name out there. The next Teron Armstead, if you will. He's going to be the next superstar left tackle that everybody's going to wish that they had on their team. And then they just completely flop for one reason or another. Nothing is set in stone until they start to play. And so I am looking at the Dolphins and saying Keon Smith has something there. There's literally nothing at the guard spots. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go draft a guard. That's my priority there. Cap for Life, Alf, is saying that you have that look about you. What do you know?
You know, I know something, but I can't say it on the show.
That's something for OnlyFans, only $3 a month, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you're tuning into that. I'm going to have to go check it out in a minute myself.
A1 plug, really.
I mean, that's the honest truth, though, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to get on there, it's discord.gg/OnlyFans.
And you can, the link is actually in the description below.
Yeah, you get on there for $3 a month.
Yep. So, in conclusion with this whole thing,
let me ask you something. Have you guys looked at the cut list on the NFL website?
I have not. What should I be looking for?
I'm looking over this list, and remember, none of these guys, all these guys are vested veterans, so they don't count against your compensation for losing Wilkins.
Compensation formula. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at this list. You could essentially build all your, you could build like the backbone of your free agent class off of some of these guys. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Kevin Beard's a little too old, I think. Okay. But Lakin Tomlinson, we talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Darius Williams.
Yeah. He's the Jaguar safety, right?
Yeah, no, he's a Jaguar. He's the Jaguars' corner. Darius Williams got cut today. You saw how fast Jonnu Smith got here. Like, I would have him signed already, Darius Williams. All right, like, not only did he have a really good season last year, you got to understand, because people say, oh, but why are they cutting him? Well, the Jaguars obviously have to cut him. They got two big things they got to worry about. They got to worry about an extension for Trevor Lawrence. And more importantly, they got a giant extension they got to give Josh Allen. Okay? I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Allen becomes the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. So they got to worry about that money. Darius Williams, man, you get that guy on this defense, especially if they're going to be a cover three defense, man, I think it's you hate to say this because the guy's going to be in the Ring of Honor. I think it's an upgrade over Xavier Howard.
And that's saying a lot. And can you get him for a good price? That's the thing.
You want to strike now because he makes it till Tuesday. Everybody else that strikes out on the big names are going to say, you know what? Let's circle right back to Darius Williams, and then you're in a bidding war. And then that's a bidding war you can't win. So now when everybody is like, no, you know, everybody's – because here's the thing. Think of the NFL as like one giant fantasy league. Like right now, every general manager is saying, whoa, did you see who got cut from the Jaguars today? And then the assistant general manager is like, yeah, man, Darius Williams is a really good player. And they're like, yeah, but you know, we're saving our cap space for Legarius Sneed here. Yep. Why are we going to mess with Darius Williams? You know what? Let's sort it out on Tuesday and then we'll revisit it. That's why the Dolphins need to be striking while the iron is hot, like right now, you know? But you got Foley Fadukasi, who also got cut from the Jaguars. He would be part of replacing Christian Wilkins, you know? Does Quandre Diggs do anything for you? Now, the problem with Quandre Diggs, he's a really good player. He's super durable. I'm wondering how old he is. He's 31.
Cap for Life is get into it. Cap for Life is asking about Kenny Moore.
Okay. I'd sign Kenny Moore tomorrow, too. I think he's going to be expensive. Kenny Moore, you sign him, and you put him in Kader Kohu's spot, and that's it. And then Kader Kohu lost his spot. It's as simple as that. You know, it's a shame, but you're going to put one of the best slot players in football on your team. But I think he's going to be really expensive. I don't, you know, I'd love for them to find the money for it, you know, but is he going to get $11 million a year? I think so. I think he's going to get something in that kind of, you know, that kind of range. Do they want to pay that much money for a slot corner? I don't know. But yeah, absolutely. Like Kenny Moore. Like, that would be a great signing. Just a great signing. But, yeah, looking at over this list, man, Darius Williams, like, wow. Like, that's a guy that they got to get on. And by the way, the NFL has a designation of termination instead of their cut list. Because their waivers are, remember, guys that are not vested. And actually, nobody has been waived. So, look for those in the next few days. You know, like the smaller cuts. But, yeah, Darius Williams, man.
I mean, I'm just looking at this whole thing and saying there's a lot of spaces that need to be filled for Miami. The spots that are going to be most difficult if they do let him go is going to be the defensive tackle, because you mentioned you got to let two or three guys to replace Christian Wilkins just by himself. You're going to have to find a replacement for Jerome Baker. We didn't even bring him up the whole show because we were talking about other stuff. Jerome Baker's gone. So you're going to have to find somebody to replace him. And I know, Alf, you have a couple names out there, but I don't know if they're going to be willing to pony up the cash for that. And
if they're not going to, you know, if Jerome Baker's not coming back, if they're not going to work with him, you know,
Channing Tindall.
No, they're not going to work with Jerome Baker on bringing him back, man. You could get Drew Tranquil. He played for the Chiefs last year for $3 million. And I actually threw it out there. Go get Azeez Al-Shaarir and then get Drew Tranquil. Add those two guys to David Long, and that's your rotation at linebacker. And those two guys are going to cost you less than what Jerome Baker was going to cost you this year.
I mean, it feels like an easy solution, but I feel like there are going to be other teams in on that war. They're not going to just let Miami roll all over them. So
that's why you wait for them at midnight on, you know what I mean? Midnight on, what is it, Tuesday? Like, you get ready.
So what, 3.5 hours or so Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, well,
today is Tuesday.
It's on Tuesday, yeah, the 11th. So,
oh, the 11th. Okay, so got it. Okay, so what, a week from now? All right. Well, I mean, I feel like we've said everything there is to say, at least today. There's going to be a lot more stuff happening. It's only just begun. The Dolphins are going to make more moves. I don't think there's that many more players they can just outright cut. Like, I'd cut Mike White, but that's about it. Like, everybody else, they cut Keon Crossan, which I was advocating for a long time ago.
Jeff Wilson is likely another guy that's going to just get
Jeff Wilson, right. Yeah, but another guy that I'm not going to lose a whole lot of sleep over. I appreciate everything he's done, but of all the positions that Miami has, running back, they're good. They're good on running back. And even to some extent in the secondary, I'm not bashing my head against the wall saying, how are we going to replace so-and-so? Because Miami has guys with potential over there. Kader Kohou in the slot. As much as we're talking about a slot corner and talking about Kenny Moore, Kader Kohou plays the slot well. They can do that. And even if he doesn't, you bring back Nick Needham. He's healthy by now. He's going to be good to go. This is what they do best. So you can get that on a dime a dozen. Well, you know what I mean. He's not going to be expensive, Nick Needham. You get him. You had him, what, last year, 1 year, $1 million? Because he was on a prove-it deal? Now he has to prove it again. Prove you can stay healthy. 1 year, $1 million. Let's try again. Or if some other team bids him, okay, fine. 1 year, $3 million. Come back. It's not going to be hard. You don't need to look around too hard. Miami already has players in place. They've been here. They know what they're doing. So I'm good on the secondary for the most part. You need to find another guy who can play corner, and we may already have that guy. We may not. In Cam Smith, I'm willing to see what he can do. And so you have all these options. The only players that I'm looking at and I'm saying I don't know how we're going to replace him is Christian Wilkins and the interior offensive line. You can kind of foresee a plan on the interior offensive line. And this is why I'm pushing so hard for Christian Wilkins specifically, is like, he's the only dude on this roster that we're letting walk that it's going to take some serious doing to find a suitable replacement. And even then, if you get three guys to replace him and you turn it into a rotation, that means that at any given moment, whoever's on the field next to Zach Sealer is weak at doing one thing that Christian Wilkins could do no matter what. Christian Wilkins can stuff. Christian Wilkins can stop the run. Christian Wilkins can rush the passer. Christian Wilkins can do everything. You can't go get a nose tackle and ask him to cover against the play three tech. He's a nose, so you can attack him that way. There's no way you can attack Christian Wilkins and be safe. That's why the only reason I'm pushing so hard on the Wilkins thing. So
yeah, and it's kind of an unfortunate thing with Wilkins where it's, this is probably, at least for the first five or six games of the season next year, this is probably the one time you could afford to lose him the least, considering that you're likely going to be without one of, if not both of, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips to start the season next year. So your pass rush,
that makes it even harder. Yeah,
it's going to be severely hampered. I mean, if both of those guys were healthy going into next season, I think maybe you look at the situation a little bit differently, where you're like, okay, well, you know, we're losing Christian Wilkins. He gives us a lot, but, you know, at the very least, we know we still have a capable pass rush. It will be tough to replace that aspect of Christian Wilkins' production. All of it, really, including the fact that he is a great locker room guy.
That's the other thing about it. I didn't even bring all that up.
But I do see Jalen Phillips eventually developing into maybe not the same style of leader, but I do see Jalen Phillips growing into a leadership role on this defense.
Oh, I'm sure he will. I'm not worried about that. It's just there's something different. I didn't even bring up so much. I brought it up a little bit, but the whole Christian Wilkins for the culture thing, Christian Wilkins, that's part of what I mean when I say that he's the heart and soul of the defense. These guys love Christian Wilkins, and Christian Wilkins loves them. The salt and pepper on Hard Knocks. It was just, this man oozed love of football, love of his teammates. It's hard not to smile when Christian Wilkins is around. That has such an effect on morale, and that cannot be dismissed so easily. It can't. You have to remember that these guys are not machines. This is not Madden, where it's just digitized components inside of a PlayStation 5. These are human beings with emotions and thoughts and their own way of doing things, their own mindset. you dump Christian Wilkins, you're losing a lot of that. And you have to find somebody who's going to step into that role somehow. That's not going to be easy to do. All right. We're over an hour now. Any final thoughts from either of you before we call it a night?
No, I think it's going to be really interesting in the coming weeks to see what they do and how they shake this roster out. You know, I don't know. The Wilkins thing, I think they're probably still having debates about it, to be honest with you. You know, I think it's entirely possible that Wilkins can be back. Although
I'm
doubt
still
it.
Hoping. I'm not tossing it out the window like with Xavier Howard. I don't care what anybody says. Howard's gone. He's gone. Like this whole, oh, I might be back. He might not. No, he's done. But Wilkins, it's hard for me to just fathom that one report comes out that the Dolphins are not going to let him leave no matter what. And then literally 3 days later, here comes another dude to say, oh, no, he's good as gone. It's just too quick. It's too quick. So there's probably internal debates, like you said, Alf. I hope that, in my opinion, common sense prevails and they keep one of the most important pieces on their defense. I get that Javon Holland would be more important for the Kyle Hamilton role, but like you've alluded to, let's be real. You only need one guy to replace Javon Holland. They can find one guy. There is going to be some team somewhere in 2025 that's going to dump their expensive veteran safety, and Miami can go ahead and just say, we'll take him, thank you, and that'll take care of it. Seriously.
No.
All right. Let's going to go ahead and call it here. Thank you all so much for listening. I think this is a record because for the record, everybody, live viewership right now is up to 512. Most of those are on Twitter, but nevertheless, it's probably the highest number we've ever had on Pulse of Fins Nation. So everybody, thank you so much for listening and thank you so much for tuning in. And for anybody who is missing out on this show live, you're going to be able to listen to this on the 3 Yards Per Carry podcast feed coming up very shortly. I'm going to send this to my brother and get the audio set up. So for those of you who are listening, once again, thank you very much. Make sure you go to OnlyFins, only $3 a month to get in on the best Dolphins talk in the internet. And of course, go to prizepicks.com, use the promo code 5, that's FIVE. They will match up to $100 on your initial deposit. For those of you still living in Florida, stand by. They are working on something to make sure that you will still get to play with them in the future. And of course, click on the link in the description of this YouTube video and go to my Nintendo store, make an offer on any of these two games, and you'll be able to get some bonus items upon making your purchase. We will see you all next week for another episode of Pulse of Fins Nation.